Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyu and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show here on UK Health Radio, the real feel-good radio. Pain, silence, lack of connection, great unhappiness, long-distance relationships, we've all lived this at least one time in our lives. According to Psychology Today, it is only in the last 20 years that we recognize that infants need to be held and touched. We know that they cannot grow, literally. They fail to thrive unless they experience physical and emotional closeness with another human being. What we often don't realize is that the need for connection never goes away. It goes on throughout the life. Today, we will discuss about intimacy, relationships, and modeling the concept of intimacy for our children with Juliette Karaman, teacher, coach, and writer on relationships, healing, sex, and intimacy. Hi, Juliette. Welcome to the Healthy Debate Show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Juliette, please introduce us into your world, your background, your work, anything you want to share with us about yourself.
Absolutely. So my name is Juliette Karaman. I have two brands. One is called Feel Fully You, and the other one is the Embodied Leadership Academy. So how I came into coaching, personal development, teaching is really by being in a relationship, having four children. I'm Dutch. I've lived in England for, God, let me see which child, 22 years, almost 23 years, actually. And I had a good relationship, beautiful husband, four incredible children. And around the 40s, it was like, there's just something more. And as we as women tend to overgive and not always put our own needs first. So long story short, we got divorced. I went back into a relationship of overgiving myself. And it wasn't until my body actually gave up on me. My body, you know, I started fainting. I spent 9 months in and out of hospital that I really took notice. It's like, oh, I got to take care of me first, like put my oxygen mask on before I give to the world. So that's really what started my my journey into personal development. Before that, I was a SENCO, so a special educational needs coordinator. Two of my kids are very dyslexic, so I work with dyslexic kids, dyspraxic, on the autism range. So I really went deep into psychology, which to help my kids as well. And then what brought me to, after spending 9 months in hospital, the one thing that really had me click, like, oh, this is me, I need to start taking care of me, is when I went to a workshop and they drew on the floor they drew a line with a piece of tape, a piece of masking tape. And then they would ask really intimate questions like, who here has ever been hurt in love? And all of a sudden, pretty much 100% of the people step over the line. And slowly the questions became bigger in weight, more intimate, more kind of, you know, daring to do you dare step over the lines, like who's ever been abused sexually, who's ever felt like they had to pay for sex. And all of a sudden you still see all these people going over the line, and it's like, oh, we're not the only ones. You started having empathy, which is what Brené Brown talks about, how when you see that you're not the only one and that there are other people in the world like this, it creates empathy and it creates a feeling of belonging. So long story short, I led a conscious sexuality movement in London, brought their first coaching program to Europe. Through that, my sister in Holland became very ill, so passed away, so I helped her. And on and on and on it goes, with quite a bit of trauma and personal stories in my life. And I have continued helping others in their relationship. And what's shown up the last 3 years is that there are a lot of relationship coaches out there, a lot of therapists out there, and that actually don't realize that they have trauma on board, that they have had something happen to them too quick, too fast, that their body or their psyche is still holding on to. So we established the Embodied Leadership Academy, which is an academy that helps coaches, entrepreneurs, therapists really go through their own trauma and teach them a way to help their clients, their families, their loved ones as well.
Julia, thank you so much for this really, you know, interesting introduction. And I say it's interesting because it seems like you've lived quite intense. And there is a bit of everything in your story. And I think a lot of us can you know, connect with you on this level and, you know, empathize with your stories, including myself, you know, divorce, the idea of intimacy, the idea of community and relationships, and how do I integrate this in my life to you know, to improve the way, to improve the quality of life, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for your honesty. It really sounded really honest, and I'm sure it was. So I'm very grateful for you, to have you as my guest, and since the level of honesty that you're happy to bring to the table. So let's go back to the main topic of today's episode, which is intimacy and relationships. Mm-hmm. What is intimacy?
I like to talk about intimacy and really like spell it out: into me, you see. So it's actually being vulnerable, showing what's going on the inside of you to whoever is on the outside. That may be your partner, that might be a friend that you can actually have an intimate conversation with. You can talk about something that's going on about you in your life, but it doesn't need to be a sexual intimate relationship. And that's often where I think people are cross-wired, because when we talk about intimacy, immediately people think, oh, it's sex. And intimacy is so much more than the sexual act. So you and I at the moment are having quite an intimate conversation about intimacy, about relationships, about what goes on inside of us. So, you know, we can have different relationships with people. You know, I can have intimate relationship with my clients, with the people that I teach on my course, because I'll teach them and I'll tell them a story about me, which is very vulnerable. And then we have an intimate relationship. We share emotions, we share feelings, everything that comes up. You know, if I cry in front of someone, that means already being intimate. Now, you can also have an intellectual, intimate relationship, and really where things, you share your ideas with people, but in a vulnerable way. And of course, there's spiritual, if you start talking about the whole spiritual intimacy. There's experimental, where you actually might want touch or eye gaze. There are so many ways to be intimate before you get to the sexual bit. And often by being intimate, by being vulnerable, by showing your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts on certain things, by sharing your fears, by communicating all of this, by telling the other person, your partner, what you love about them, then our body, our psyches, we might be ready for actually some touch or looking at each other and remembering what it was that we loved about each other.
Juliet, if you are to put in categories the types, the levels of intimacy, which one would that be?
I would definitely say, I mean, for me, emotional intimacy is massively important. Mm-hmm. There's intellectual intimacy, like I talked to you about, spiritual, that you can think about, you know, what are we here in this world for? You know, are we one? It doesn't have to be religious, I'm making a big distinction between religious and spiritual. And then really experimental. You know, the things, what are most important are, is safe communication, right? So that you can communicate with your partner, intimacy with your children, with your friends. You can communicate and be safe that you will not be attacked. Right? So you share your opinions and you share others' opinions. Then we start talking about feelings, experiences, and then we reach to an even deeper layer, which are the needs and the desires that we have, our fears that we have. Once we start sharing all of this, it's like we're bringing all of that to the surface, and it's a bit vulnerable. It's like a bit, little baby's like saying, here, here's all of me. And so often what we find in communication that people don't actually listen to understand, yeah. But we all listen to like put our opinion on top of it or say no, or you know, we have already an answer formulated in our mind. So one of the things that I teach my my couples and my people who my clients and my coaches who work with me is a communication skill, and where it's really about understanding the other person. So to give a prompt, like perhaps when you want to be a bit more intimate with your partner, spend 10 minutes saying, tell me what you love about me. And then your partner will say, I love that you bring me a cup of coffee in the morning because it has me feel very loved. Then what you would respond, say thank you when you've understood it. Not to go in, yes, I do that because I love you and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, thank you. And you've understood it. And when you go back and forth like this, there is such a connection that forms. That's the deep intimacy.
Do you think in today's society we become intimate too soon or too late?
It depends what you mean with intimate here, if that's sexually intimate or if it's intimate in getting to know someone.
Well, I wasn't expecting you to send this back to my court, so I need to think now. What do I need? Do you know what? Let's think about not sexual type of intimacy, just openness to soon in relationships. And that's because, you know, I've been living in the UK for 7 years now, but I'm from a different country, and the culture there, it's a bit different than what it is here. And I feel to some extent that here people are a bit more open to discuss things, which I wasn't expecting, to be honest, because there's this stigma that British society is a bit, you know, uptight and they don't discuss intimate things, which I think is right to some extent. But I've seen and I've lived situations when people were quite open to share very private, you know, details about their life, and they were, you know, happy to be vulnerable, as you mentioned previously. So let's not talk about sexual intimacy. Do you think when it comes to sharing in this society, we're sharing a bit too soon or a bit too late? What have you observed in the working relationships that you have with your clients?
It's funny, I've seen both. I've seen people that immediately open up, but it's almost too much information. And you're like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, me, obviously, as a therapist, as a coach, there's never really too much information.
Yeah.
But I can guide people saying, hey, yeah, your partner wasn't quite ready for that. Let's have a bit of boundaries in place. And before you drop a bombshell of things that are going on, feelings, ask if they're open to hear that. And that's been one of the really good pieces of advice that I give people. It's like, yes, I know that you have a lot that you want to get out, but your partner may not be in that mind space. So say, you know, you come home and you have a lot that you want to vent about to your partner. Instead of just going up to him or her saying, I'm blowing your top and everything, you're saying, hey, can I have 5 minutes of your time? I need to vent a bit. I don't need all your attention. I don't really need, and I don't need you to fix me or have any advice for me. but are you open to me just having like a 5-minute rant and you being present for that, but that's all I need for you? And oftentimes they'll say yes. And actually what's really beautiful is they'll say, oh no, now is not the right time for me. Well, what about after we put the kids to bed? I'm available for you then. So it really feels that then it's everyone can be present, because what we want most of all in intimacy is having someone be present with you. Right.
It's very interesting that you brought up this idea of asking permission almost. I think that's so important, because otherwise if you don't, it's almost self-sabotage, isn't it? You come with very high expectations and you expect the person to listen to you, to actually understand, and to some extent, maybe in some situations, to provide you with an advice, or at least to feel like they fully understood your concerns. But if we do that when they're not ready to receive it, when it's the wrong moment, it's almost disappointing, you know, and I think it actually has the reverse
effect.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, who hasn't been cooking and a partner or a child or someone came in and wanted attention and you're half hearing it and you go, and it's, and actually afterwards you're like, they were trying to tell me something vulnerable, yeah, and I actually wasn't present for it.
Yeah, and this puts so much strain on the relationship, right?
Yeah,
because it's the guilt, if I could have done better, why didn't I listen? But let's go back to the sexual intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. Too soon or too late? What do you think? Do we open up too much now these days?
I think it's interesting with the whole pandemic where people have had to start courting a little bit because we actually couldn't see people. So I know a lot of my friends and some of my clients are single and were dating. So they've actually really enjoyed this kind of courtship, this getting to know people, flirting online, having phone conversations, perhaps having video calls. So it's really brought back that, like, let's get to know each other first before we have sexual intimacy, because of the pandemic you had to. I think it's been interesting for everyone to see that everyone's adjusted so well. But I think what the one thing that people have missed a lot is physical touch, is hugging each other. It doesn't even need to be sexual, but just being able to hug or to touch a friend, to feel someone's fingertips on you and just giving you a hug, giving you a peck on the cheek. Talking about sexual intimacy too soon, too late, this all depends on what we have been taught, where religion comes in, background, what your parents taught you about sex, what society taught you about sex. I'm from Holland, where it's quite liberal and open. We live in London, we live in England. You're from a different country where it might be slightly different as well. My kids are Muslim, so it's seen yet differently. So we have all these imprints into us. We have all these beliefs that have been imprinted into us from society, from parents, from religion, from education, everything. So it becomes like an amalgamation in our minds, and we're like, what is right and what's wrong? The only thing I would say is, like, when you are actually ready, then it's always perfect. And you can always say no. We can always go to a certain point and then it's like, oh, it actually doesn't feel good anymore. So let's pause here.
How do we know we are in an intimate relationship with someone? Are there any signs? The reason why I'm asking this is, to be honest, thinking about teenagers these days, I think it's quite hard for them to understand what's intimate, when a relationship becomes intimate. So do you think there are any specific signs that young people can look for?
What's interesting, I was talking to a couple about this who's had some infidelity issues, and the whole question was, when does a relationship start to become intimate? And the question was raised, it's like, so if you have a phone conversation with someone or a text conversation with someone outside your primary relationship, and you start telling them about emotions, about things that you're feeling, about intimate details of yourself, not sexual details, but is that already an intimate relationship? Are you having, you know, a relationship with someone that is already quite intimate? You're sharing a whole piece of yourself with it. So I think there's that. There's the sharing the feelings, emotions, and a lot of people, a lot of couples have said, oh yeah, that already is infidelity, because you're sharing part of yourself with someone else. It's like, what do you mean? We haven't touched, we haven't had sex, we're not wanting to. So this is where it becomes interesting. But for younger teenagers, I would definitely think where has a friendship been where you've been massively vulnerable, you've shared parts about yourself, and then when it gets into the physical, that's when you know that you're in an intimate relationship. And that's when the questions arise. It's like, hey, are we exclusive? Are you, you know, because people always assume that when you and I have sex together, we're going to be exclusive. That's how we're brought up. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people these days are like, oh, well, no, I'm dating multiple people. So it's a question to ask. It's like, hey, are you and I exclusive? Where is this, you know, not that we're getting married or anything, but where do you see this going? You know, what are your views on relationships? What do you want from a relationship? What do you expect when you're in a relationship? What do you expect? Do you expect me to call you? Do you expect that you and I only have intimate sex together? Can we talk to other people still online? It all boils down to having a really good communication about it.
Juliet, your response makes me think about the difference between women and men, and if we're built in the same way when it comes to intimacy. But I would love to hear your answer to that after the commercial break. So let's reconnect in a few minutes to continue our conversation about intimacy and relationships.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser. B-Cure Laser.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Juliet Carriman, coach, a teacher and writer on relationships, sex and intimacy. We were discussing with Juliet before the break, when does intimacy become too soon, comes into place too soon, too late? What is intimacy? What are some levels of intimacy? And I was explaining to Juliet, I'll be very interested in understanding if women and men are built in the same way when it comes to intimacy. So what do you think, Juliet? Is that the case?
It's interesting. I used to think that a lot of men are quite sexual. They're out for, you know, they want to
hunting.
their need met, right? And that's obviously, there are a few like that, but then there are also quite a few women that are like this. I'm also an erotic blueprint coach, which basically means that there are different ways of finding our ways into pleasure. And all of us are wired differently. It's a little bit like the five love languages. Here there are five different blueprints, which are your ways into getting aroused, getting pleasure. So one of the types is sexual, which is what we hear about, what we see about, porn, all the sex that we know about. But there are also other types. There's energetic, people like eye gazing. This is a bit, if you think about tantra, eye gazing, swaying, people can feel energy come from across the room. So if you mix someone who's massively sexual to someone who's energetic, and that's their way into pleasure, there are often clashes. The one who's sexual will be like, oh my God, we're never having intimate sex. And the other one thinks like, we're never actually connecting. We're not connecting enough. I would like more eye gazing. I would like you to tell me more about how beautiful I am. Then there's the sensual that loves any kinds of smell, massages, silk sheets. They can already smell a piece of fruit and have a body orgasm. But when they mix with a sexual too quickly, it turns them off. They'll have things like, oh my goodness, you know, have I shaved? Are there socks on the floor? What have I done with the gas? Is it off? We just go into our heads. And all of these blueprints have a shadow type. You know, I think like, hey, we go into our heads, we think about other things. It's what keeps us away from pleasure. So I don't think it's only men and women that are very different, but I think even every woman and every man, or non-binary, we have these different ways into how we experience pleasure, how we like to be touched. And if this is not something that we talk about, which normally we don't talk about, right? We don't say, oh, I like you to touch me this, that way. We kind of hope that the other person knows how to touch us.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we don't even know ourselves what we like. We think we like a certain thing. And then also what we'd like to do is have a set formula. It's like, okay, so I kiss her on her neck, right under her earlobe, go down to her shoulder, then scratch her, massage her a little bit, and then we're all ready for it. First time that might work, second time that might work, third time it's like, yeah, that's not doing it for me. So this is where we get, where we kind of get a bit frustrated and also flustered. It's like, well, what do you want today?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you brought this up, because you are right. We don't explain what we need, what we want, what we like. We just expect the other person to somehow know or feel, or we just assume that, you know, we've been together for 5 years. You know me better than that. You should know, you know, what I like.
You should know.
We should know. Yeah, there is this expectation. But this makes me think about our parents and the models that we had, and the fact that, you know, sex, intimacy, relationships, it wasn't a conversation, it wasn't on the table, it was just there and that's it. So I also believe that times have changed significantly, and almost children and teenagers talk more about this, and they challenge their parents to have these conversations, to sit down at the table and, you know, talk about the real things that are important for them in this period of growth. So how do we introduce the idea of intimacy to our children?
I love it. I think it's so important. I think it was last year I was in the Telegraph, and it was all about talking to your children about sex. When I moved to the UK, my cousin called bottom and front bottom, didn't have a real name for vagina or vulva or pussy or whatever you want to call it, but they use bottom and front bottom. And I was just flabbergasted. I'm like, Why can't we talk about these things? But there is a bit of a hush-hush mentality. This is, you know, this is we talk about behind closed doors, or we keep the lights off and we just fumble around and we think it's going to be okay. So for me, it's normalizing talking about sex, normalizing talking about our bodies. We have, you know, we have body parts. This is what we have. This is what it is when girls are on their period. I know that my daughters, with their two brothers, they said, oh, we're on our Bambi. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, oh, mommy, I don't want to say period. I'm like, why not? It's something really natural. So I've had to really like explain to them. It's like, come on, this is natural. Women have their periods. You know, let's talk about it. Let's normalize it. So for me, I think I started with my kids. The girls probably around 6, 7. You know, we started talking about, because of course, you know, they start being interested, saying, oh, mommy, you've got boobies. And what are those? And, you know, and really being just quite open about it. And then with the boys, I remember actually talking about sex, and that, you know, there is so much online these days. When we were growing up, it might have been magazines, but they see, they have access to everything online. So to have a real honest conversation with them, saying, you know, the sex and the porn that you see online, remember that they are actors. And remember that, you know, if you are going to be intimate with someone, there are all the things to think about, you know, getting someone pregnant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the most important thing is, are you both ready for this? Is this something that you both want? When either of you think, oh, that's gone too far, let's pause it. Actually, are you listening? Are you listening to yourself as well? And then remember that all these girls or boys have brothers, fathers, mothers that love them as well, right? They are humans. They are, you know, your loved ones. They are the people that you want to be intimate with. But also realize that by being intimate isn't the goal of everything. You know, having sex isn't the goal. You can be intimate and have a beautiful conversation. You can have beautiful touch, and you don't have to have sex if that's not what feels right for you. To really take the pressure off is what I've tried to do with all my kids. Because they're so pressurized. If, you know, if at a certain age they still haven't had sex with someone, then, you know, all their friends are asking, hey, have you had sex yet? And it's like, let's make this normal and say, hey, no, I haven't. I haven't found the right person that I want to yet.
You mentioned,
well, yes, I have.
So you mentioned discussing, starting to have these conversations about, you know, intimacy and period and normalizing the body type of conversation when your children were very young. Do you think it should be, the information should be shared gradually, or would you share right from the beginning?
No, I think definitely start sharing it a bit gradually. I mean, yeah, they would ask me, what is that? It's like, well, that's where, you know, babies come from. That's where a woman has her, you know, reproductive system. But yes, definitely, you know, when they're very young, they just think that the world is like that. Everyone has bodies like this. It's perfectly normal to walk around naked. And then slowly, slowly, they get the imprints from everyone else. It's like, oh, we don't talk about that. Like, one of my sons would play with his willy. He'd say, mommy, willy massage, when he was like, I don't know, 3 years old. And at one point I'm like, hey, darling, when we're in public or when you go to nursery, you can't do that. And he was like, why not, mommy? Like, because, you know, that's a personal bit and that's not to share with others. And for children, when they're that young, it's an interesting bit to realize. It's like, oh, these are our private parts that we don't show to everyone, but we can talk about, you know, when it's appropriate.
When do you think sharing your own experiences becomes too much? What's the borderline?
Good one. Again, I think, especially with children, when you're sharing with your kids, little drops, like you said earlier, like you asked, it's like give them information a lot of times, but like little droplets that you're feeding them, like you think you're planting seeds, and you're just watering them a little bit, sun, a little bit of water, and then they grow, and then people, and then they understand. So it's, I think if you immediately give them a whole download, it's like, this is what sex is. This is how you should not be doing this before you're married and this blah, blah, blah. It almost becomes a stigma and it becomes too much of an overload.
So I'm just thinking about, you know, your, so you said you have three children, Juliet, isn't
four.
It?
I've got four.
Four.
Two boys and twin girls. Yeah.
Two boys and twin girls. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to share this, but if you are, I'll love to hear your answer. Do you think there was a difference between these two categories of, you know, boys versus girls to receive this information? Were some more open than others?
It's really funny. So my boys are about 16 months apart and they're kind of like units. And then my girls are twins. So it was kind of like the girls and the boys, yeah. Because also age wise. So when I talked to my sons about this, they were actually quite open about it. I mean, their father mm-hmm. had talked to them about certain things. For me, what was really important to get across is just that we all have emotions and to be really careful with emotions and to treat women right. So, I mean, honestly, they are beautiful with their girlfriends and they're very, very gentlemanly. So I'm really happy that they took that on board.
Yeah.
With the girls, one is much more open and one is happy to talk about it, happy to talk about her emotions, her feelings, about what's going on in her body. And the other one is a bit more contained. So it's not so much what sex it is, but it's again, what different person, different personalities, who wants to talk about it a little bit more, who's a bit more open, who's a bit more closed, or who also might need a little bit more time in that respect.
Well, thank you very much for you know, sharing this information. I think it does help a lot of parents who find it absolutely terrifying to sit down and have conversations like this. So I think yeah. It's great that, you know, in 2022 we can talk about this on the radio and it's acceptable and people want to hear this and they're open to do so. Let's spend a few minutes to listen to our sponsors, Stacey's messages. And after that, I would like us to, you know, we're quite close to the end of the show, but I still want to discuss long-term relationships and physical intimacy. So we'll be back in 2 minutes with Juliet Caraman.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Juliet, before our break, you shared beautiful advice for parents who maybe not necessarily struggle, but they find it a bit challenging to have conversations about intimacy and relationship with their children. But now I would like us to discuss a bit long-term relationships and physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. I was reading some statistics on long-term relationships and long-distance relationships, to be very specific. And 55% of this the individuals that have long distance relationships said that spending time apart from each other actually helped their relationship, and it made them feel closer than ever. Mm-hmm. Is a long-term relationship the solution for a fulfilling relationship, Juliet?
Long-term or long distance?
Long distance.
It's interesting, right? The long distance. Because if you think about the psychology behind it, so if you're in each other's presence every day, things become normalized, right? So all the endorphins, all the chemicals that our brain produces when things are new, those feel-good chemicals, they don't happen anymore because we sleep next to each other, we're in the mundane everyday thing, washing dishes, doing laundry, the house things, the work, perhaps, you know, we even start burping and farting and all these kind of things, and that the newness is gone. So when we have a long distance relationship, we come together very intentionally. We plan towards coming together, towards spending a week or a weekend or however long together. So already there's that yearning. There's that those emotions that come up. It's like, oh, I'm gonna see you again. It's like butterflies in your mm-hmm. tummy, and it's like, oh, I'm so excited. And oftentimes that is really what creates the spark again, because that is really what happens in long-term relationship, is that the spark kind of fades away. It's like you still love each other, but there's not that excitement anymore.
I was reading another study, and this study was talking about intimate relationships, like sexual intimate relationships, and apparently the average, you know, number of times that an adult has a sexual intercourse with their partner is one time per week, which is equivalent mm-hmm. to 53 times per year, I believe.
Yeah, pretty much.
You pretty much. You've explained to me what changes briefly, and that was really, you know, good and interesting to hear. But I'm just thinking about sexless relationships. Yeah. Is a sexless relationship a relationship?
For me, definitely it is. And I have a lot of clients that came to me not having had sex in over 20 years in their marriage. And now finally getting the courage to go and work with a sex coach, work with someone who can help them. And it's years and years and years of letting things go, not saying certain things. So a bit of resentment has built up. Mm-hmm. People still love each other completely, but that sexual part has almost died off. They didn't quite know how to get there again. First thing is communication. It's really starting to build up the communication again, and what are the things that we loved about each other when we first got together? Make lists. This is what I loved doing as a child. This is what I loved about us at first. And then consciously have a date morning or a date afternoon and communicate that to each other. Then, like I said about the long distance relationship, if we can do something that is a pattern interrupt, our brain thinks it's something new, all these chemicals come up and it's like, oh my God, this is incredible, this is fun, we get to have something completely different. So instead of for date night or date morning, if you go out for breakfast or for lunch or for dinner, what about doing something from that list that both of you like doing as children? Maybe it's roller skating, or maybe it's canoeing or flying a kite, something so out of the normal that all of a sudden it's sharing this experience again. It's like, whoa, this is really fun. And then you start seeing different sides of your partner. And slowly, slowly, by all these things, all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's very attractive or she's very attractive. Oh my God, I never knew this about them. And that's when you can start bringing in different kinds of touch. And only then is can a relationship start to re-blossom. I've had it numerous times that the clients that were on the brink of a divorce because they weren't having sex and they just felt like they had nothing in common anymore, after 3 to 4 months have booked a new honeymoon because it was the communication skills and it was remembering what they actually loved about. And also one of my rules is when you do plan in your date time, your conscious time together, an hour and a half or so a week, it doesn't need to take sex off the table altogether. In the beginning, just take it off the table. Make sure that, no, we're not having sex, because then that there's no pressure. And then slowly start bringing it in. But don't talk about the children. Don't talk about work. Leave your phones behind and have that conscious time together.
What a great way to close today's episode, you know, with tips around how to rebuild a relationship. And I think for me personally, it was quite interesting the fact that you brought up first the bond, the intimate relationship without the sexual part, and then this slowly, this is almost like a consequence of a good partnership, good relationship, good intimacy. So thank you very much, Juliet, for your time today. It was really, really great to have you here to talk about relationships, parenting, sex, long distance relationships. So again, thank you for allowing us to be introduced into your work. And we would like to find you online. So where can we find you? Do you have a website? Tell us a bit about the social media details, please.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I have two websites. So one is feelfullyyou.com and the other one is the embodiedleadershipacademy.com. My Instagram is Juliet, double T-E, French spelling, Karaman, K-A-R-A-M-A-N. And my Facebook is also Juliet Karaman. You can follow me there. There are a lot of free resources, both on Instagram, on the websites, on Facebook. I run multiple courses. At the moment, I'm doing a course called Fragmented, which is a 5-6 day course where we take all the pieces that we might have orphaned off and bring them back together. And that's free for everyone at the moment. We will make it paying again, but with what everything's going on in the world, I thought we all can use a bit of holding a community of like-minded women. At the moment, it's only women, and to really feel that that all parts of us can be seen. So Juliet Karaman on Instagram, Feel Fully You, the Embodied Leadership Academy.com.
Juliet, best of luck with everything, and I hope we'll see you back on the Healthy Debate Show very soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
By Your Side is a song by English band Sade from their 5th studio album, Lovers Rock. This love song is about a person's underlying love for someone, and the video is a metaphor for Sade's adult life. In the lyrics, Sade promises never to leave her significant other, but to always be present in every moment of his life, especially in the low moments. Let's listen now to Sade with By Your Side. Until next time, may we hear only good things. You think I'd leave you